Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you. I declare to you, it's a real joy to sit down and talk to you about the marvelous provision that God has made for men and women to be saved, and the marvelous provision He has made for the saved people, for His own children, to live lives that are pleasing to Him. Not a life of strain, but a life of real rest and peace in Him. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that you and I can sit down and enjoy the things of Christ and know that God has made all the provision that I need for complete joy and full peace? And He's also made provision for you and me to walk in the Spirit, a life of intimate fellowship with God. This is what we've been dealing with in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we found in verse 17 that there were two principles of operation. There's the works of the flesh in contrast to the Spirit who lives in the believer. And these are contrary. They're opposites. And if you be led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. And I want to tell you, my friend, when you came to the Savior, and the Spirit led you to the Savior, as Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We became members of His family, and our bodies became the sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit of God, in order that we might live lives that are pleasing to Him. Oh, how glad I am the Lord didn't leave us to ourselves to try and live a Christian life. This is one of the fallacies of today, where the great denominations of our ecclesiastical leaders are trying to make the world, the unregenerate heart, live like Christians. And my friend, it just will never work out. It'll never work. The unsaved man cannot live like Christians. And we Christians, I'm sorry to say, too often, do not outwardly live as good a life as some of our neighbors and friends. Oh, shame on us, when God has indwelt us by His Spirit for the purpose of manifesting something of the character and the heart of the living God, that His compassion and His love and His tenderness and mercy will flow through us so that our lives, our words, even our very thoughts will be cleansed by the Word of God and then the Spirit of God finding us usable. Now in verses 19, 20, and 21, you'll notice you've got the works of the flesh are manifest. It's not a very nice list of things here. In verses 19 to 21, you have 23 of the ugly brood in the book of Romans chapter 1. You've got 17 of them here in Galatians chapter 5. You've got 13 of them in the book of Mark chapter 7 and so on. You have this question of the works of the flesh. They're manifest everywhere. You don't have to look around very, very far in your own room sometime. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And these are the things that hinder the Spirit of God living in His people. These are the things that are grievous to God. And may I say, these are the things upon which the very judgment of God is going to fall. Listen to it. The works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I needn't spend time on this. This is the life that is manifested all over the world today. It's manifested right here in Portland, and the tragedy is that even some of these terrible sins are evident among God's people. Now, I'm not holding any brief for the failures of God's people, but I do say this: their deliverance from these sins will not be on the ground of keeping the law. The power given to us is by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God indwelling His people. In fact, God has given to us, can I say this? He's given to us three things to keep you and me from sinning. He's given to us the Word of God. And that's the book that people neglect. That's the book that most Christians neglect. And yet it's very, very clear in the Word of God when David said in the 119th Psalm, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed according to thy word." Jesus said in John 15:3, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Ephesians 5:26, "That he might cleanse the church by the washing of water by the word." It's the word of God that he has given to us, right in our hands, to read it and to reread it. It'll keep us from sin. It'll keep us from these terrible things here, the 17 things we've been reading here in Galatians chapter 5. The second provision he has made for us is that our Savior is at the right hand of God interceding on our behalf. This is the book of Hebrews now. What is Christ doing now? He's pleading your cause. He's your advocate with the Father. He's a high priest with God. He's our anchor, our hope, our refuge, our forerunner, our representative, our intercessor. These are aspects of what Christ is doing now. He's praying for you. The Word of God to read. The interceding Savior at God's right hand. And the third provision is the Spirit of God who indwells us. And he says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." When you and I walk in the Spirit, these things we read here in verses 19 to 21 will have no place in our lives. Horribly the thought that such sins would be evident in the lives of his people. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Why, it's all around us. It is common. This is common in society. You don't have to go very far to see this. So the works of the flesh, the unregenerate flesh. But you and I have come to know the Savior. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're a child of God. And our life should be different. Allow me to quote from the book of Romans chapter 13, where the apostle writes from verse 11 on, "It's high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. In view of the coming of the Lord, it's high time to throw off the works of darkness, not in drunkenness and revelings, not in chambering and wantonness, unclean sins of the flesh, not in envyings and jealousies, sins of the heart. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof." Just another way of saying, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the lusts of the flesh are very evident. You see, how in the world can I live apart from it? I'm surrounded, the very atmosphere is filled with the corruption of the human heart. You can't read your papers or magazines. You can't hear people talking without all these things are the common things of the day. In fact, you're looked upon as a square if you don't do these things. If I'm talking to any young people today, and you hear my voice, never mind about being called a square or whatever it is they call you. You walk with God. Because it's because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. This is one of the reasons why God is going to judge men. If you read the book of Ephesians, for example, chapter 5, he says the same things. Uncleanness, fornication, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as the children of God, nor filthiness, nor dirty stories, which are not convenient, but giving of thanks, and let no man deceive you by vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 3 down through verse 7. I want to say very, very frankly, and I say with a heavy heart, in fact, I feel very, very sure the cup of iniquity in the world is filling full fast. and nothing short of the judgment of God is ahead of this human race. They're turning further and further away from God. They would prefer to rebel against His counsel. They scorn His word. They repudiate the Savior. They want to be left alone in their sin, to wallow in their sin. Leave me alone. I've got rights, and I'm going to stand upon my rights. If I want to talk, I'm going to talk. If I want to sin, I'm going to sin, etc., etc. This ought not to be the attitude of those who love the Savior. You say, well, I'll stand out like a sore thumb. That's right. They'll call me all kinds of names. That's true. They'll laugh at you. That's right. They'll ridicule you. That's right. But, my friend, we've all gone through that. Words won't hurt you. That won't hurt you. In fact, if I were you, I'd run right to the Savior. He knows about it. He was with you when they riled you and persecuted you and called you all kinds of names. Jesus was right there with you. He knows all about it. He still loves you, and He wants you to love Him. Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And any one of these 17 things that I've just been reading in Galatians 5, these things will not be in your life if you walk in the Spirit. You say, I'm so weak, I'm so frail, I've got so many sinful tendencies, I know. But don't you think that Jesus is an all-sufficient Savior? Don't you think that the Spirit of God who indwells you is the Holy Spirit, and He can undertake for you? You see, the trouble is we don't trust the Lord to do it. We don't believe that the Spirit of God can do it. So we fight it ourselves, and every time we fight it, we fail. We do the things we don't want to do. We say the things we don't want to say. Do you know why? Our eyes are upon ourselves instead of Christ. You see, we try to make ourselves holy, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. My friend, listen, you can't improve the flesh. It's condemned, and it can't please God. But the Spirit of God who indwells you can do the job if you'll only let Him. Now, may this be a day when you'll just let the Lord move in, and in your life and my life, He may exalt and magnify our wonderful Savior. Fall in love with Him for today. Just for today, live with Him and for Him. And the Lord Jesus bless you for His name's sake.